In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, I would bid your prayers. I'm a little nervous this morning. This is Trinity Sunday. And as Father Chuck has mentioned many times before, this is the Sunday the rector usually takes vacation. So Kathy back there can attest to that. And Evan, you know, you're on board for this next time. So good morning. I know you will not be surprised that I'm not going to even try to theologically explain the Holy Trinity. Great theologians throughout the history of the church have debated and explained the mystery of the Godhead, and I'm not going to even pretend I'm in their league or their level of understanding. Although, if you would like to read the outline of faith of the Catechism of the Episcopal Church, or read the historical documents of the Episcopal Church, they're in the back of the book. Starting on page 845, everything you need to know is in the book. The first article of religion, on page 867, states, "There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things visible and invisible. In the unity of this Godhead, there be three persons, of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And the Creed of St. Athanasius, on page 864 and 865, explains and proclaims the nature of the Trinity. "I am a daughter, I'm a sister, a wife, a friend, a deacon, an X-ray tech, and so on. All these descriptions of me are in relationship to other people. And so all of my identities and my personality traits, there are different things about me, but I'm only one person." That's it, just one. The Holy Trinity consists of three co-equal, separate, and distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each person has their own separate, unique identities and attributes. There are many specific names for the Son, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and each one represents their unique and individual person. But the three persons of the Trinity come together. They're in relationship with each other, and together they are only one God. The Trinity was and is perfect and whole together, and they are the same essence. And the essence of God is love. The Trinity was present before time and before the world. As we heard in Genesis today, in the beginning, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. As the creation story unfolds, God is pleased with his creation and saw that it was good. On the sixth day, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And behold, it was very good. Fast forward to the beginning of John's Gospel, which states, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And also from John's Gospel, we heard a few weeks ago how Jesus prayed, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." We know God created the heavens and the earth and everything upon the earth. And Psalm 8 echoes the creation story, as well as the explanation of why God created man and woman. From the beginning, we were created to praise and glorify God. We're to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth, and we're to be good stewards of the earth. That is our purpose. So the Trinity wants to expand their relationship, their loving relationship, not only with each other, but to us. We are to imitate that relationship, to be in fellowship with each other, and also to reciprocate the love the Trinity has shown to us. Now, of course, we have free will, and we have collectively and historically made poor choices. So out of his great love for us, God our Father sent Jesus to restore mankind to the loving relationship with the Godhead. Jesus came to live, and he died. He was resurrected from the dead, and he redeemed us to fulfill God's plan for us. Jesus was obedient, and he chose to become fully human while remaining fully divine. Now, I can't explain that. I don't know how that works. It's beyond my pay grade. But you know what? It's okay, because God knows how it works. So this plan to fulfill God's loving plan of mercy and grace reconciles us and restores God with his creation. And as we heard last Sunday, which was Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide and help us in our daily lives throughout each day, and also as the one body of Christ. With the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit, we use these to we heal our relationships that we have with each other. We take these gifts and we spread the gospel of Jesus throughout the world. And that helps us to fulfill the Great Commission. And as we continue to fulfill the Great Commission, we invite people into relationship with the Trinity and with us. So every day, with the Holy Spirit's guidance, we have an opportunity to show people the love of Jesus and point to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Throughout Jesus' teaching, Jesus often referred to the Father and himself as one and stated, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." Yet Jesus continually glorified the Father and instructed his followers to glorify God, right? One of the best examples we have is the Lord's Prayer. God the Father glorified Jesus throughout his ministry, beginning at his baptism, through the Transfiguration, with his death, his resurrection and ascension. And we have the Holy Spirit that still glorifies God the Father and God the Son, through us and with us. Every Sunday we say the Nicene Creed, which we'll do in a few minutes. We affirm our belief and our faith in the Trinity. We choose to accept the mystery of the Holy Trinity because of our faith. And even though we believe the Holy Trinity is one God, we are not fully able to comprehend the vastness or depth of God. For our finite human minds, much of God remains a mystery. And maybe that's how it should be. What is not a mystery is the Trinity's essence of love is shown to us every day in God's abundant gift of love to each one of us. His care, his compassion, the fact that when we pray, God hears us and makes a way where we're able to come together as one, to hold each other up through whatever we may be going through. And this grace is not because of who we are. It's reflective of who God is, and this is great news. Our Christian walk is our daily faith journey where we strive to walk in the will of God, to fulfill his plans, to show others the love of Jesus while we are being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. So how can we not share this grace and this love with our family and our neighbors? How can we not pray for our communities, our nation, and the world, not only to receive God's love, but to also saturate all the people throughout the world so we may all become more Christ-like and more Christ-centered? Whatever we do, individually or corporately, I pray that we remember that the beauty that we see, the joy and the peace that we have in our hearts, and the love that we are called to share, it's in response to the love that was first shown to us. Paul ended his letter to the Corinthians in the same fashion. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.